Travis Kelce was featured on that broadcast last night. Multiple times they were discussing, like, Chris Collinsworth was like, I just don't get it. He wasn't saying that he thinks he's old and washed. He's like, I don't get it. I don't get why the production is not there. And there was a clear concerted effort to start the second half to force feed the ball to Travis Kelce. And they did a couple times, but yet again, we're sitting heading into week four, and he's got 8 catches for 69 yards. I think some of this does go with, hey, Rashee Rice is just eating right now. He's the guy finding spots in the zone. Teams are not double teaming him or anything, and so he's just going to continue to eat. When does that adjustment happen? You're still seeing teams double team Kelce and all that. That might be true, but I don't feel like Mahomes and him are on the same page, the same as we have had. There was the one play in which Patrick Mahomes threw it kind of out of the back of the end zone where he thought Kelce was going to go vertical, and Kelce didn't. These are things that normally just that's the relationship we discuss, how they just both know exactly where they're supposed to go with the ball, or in Travis's case, into open space. That kind of stuff just does not happen. It really is bizarre. I still maintain that he's getting open at times, but we're heading into week four, man, and the best day at the office so far from a receiving perspective has been 4 catches for 30 yards, which was last night.
Yeah, and so I don't think he's going to finish this season with 391 yards.
I hear you. Same.
Which is what he is currently pacing at. So whatever we're seeing out of Travis Kelce right now is not the end story for Travis Kelce. I told you I got maybe like one more week of excuse making where I, again, kind of like Chris Collinsworth, don't get it. I see plenty of highlights where Travis Kelce is breaking free, is open, is available for one of the passes, and for whatever reason right now, those passes aren't going to Travis Kelce and are going to other open wide receivers. And I still think a huge chunk of it is because these teams have not made the switch to, we're not going to let Rashee Rice beat us, we're not going to let, and have stayed on, we're not going to let Travis Kelce beat us. And eventually I think that's going to shift, and this is going to look a lot different. I don't watch him on the field and be like, he looks like he's fried. I will say he looked a little frustrated on the sideline yesterday.
Yeah, disappointed, bummed out. Yeah.
Yeah, bummed, bored, whatever it's going to be. They zoomed in on him pretty hard on that sideline clip going to break where he just looks like,
well, I'm sure he's frustrated. This is a guy that normally is a 1,000-yard receiver every year. And right now, through 3 weeks, I don't want to say a non-factor because I think he is drawing a lot of attention, is making Rashee Rice's job easier. But if you're just box score watching, which is what a lot of people nationally are doing, fantasy football world
that
we live
in, he's not producing.
Fantasy football world that we live in and stuff, and so people are like, he's just not doing anything. It's bizarre. This is the only time in his career he's had a stretch of games like this, production-wise.
I
haven't seen it before, man.
No, that's what's throwing me off about it, is that I've just never seen Travis Kelce look like this. I've just never seen him look in a way where, and I think some of it is because like the entire offense isn't together at the same time yet. It still feels like off in some ways, timing wise. And so I'll maybe give it a little bit of time before they do that. I think again, Kelce has been open times in which the ball didn't get to him. What stinks about this conversation though is Travis Kelce was talking about his future in the offseason a little bit, both on his New Heights podcast and other interviews and stuff. And what he had made it very clear was he wasn't going to go out not making a difference on the field anymore. Just like his brother Jason had openly admitted and has talked about it more since he retired, that he wasn't going to go out still not being able to play at a Hall of Fame level. If I can't play at a Hall of Fame level, I'm not coming out there to try to be Cole Kmet. Travis Kelce not going to ride out the rest of his career being Cole Kmet. He is determined to be the level of player that he was if he's going to stay in the NFL. My concern is that if he does look like this for a larger chunk of this season, then where are we? Now, I'll say he played 77% of the snaps. That's actually kind of low for him in a game, even though he was the leading offensive skill position player in snaps. He played more snaps than Rashee Rice. Maybe there is still some of this, like, look, I don't. If he produces in the playoffs again, I'm not going to sweat
it.
If he produces in big games against big opponents, I'm not going to sweat it. And they're 3-0 without Travis Kelce. Could you imagine? I told you he only had 67 yards and they were 3-0. No way.
Yeah,
they haven't needed him. That's why it doesn't feel so pressure packed.
Yeah, there's way less stress on that because ultimately the results are what matter and the team is 3-0. But yes, if you just tell the story, Kelce's production, and if I told you that Pacheco then was going to be hurt, and I told you that Hollywood Brown may not play a snap for this team at all, and he hasn't played a snap at all, and yet they're 3-0 against the Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Kirk Cousins stretch of the season. Yeah, you would have said, I don't know how you're getting three wins. And yet here they are. And this is cliche stuff, but that's why they're a great team. They are giving C, maybe C plus type performance, at least this Sunday night, I would say, offensively for sure. And defense, I think, was better than that. And yet they found ways to win. You know, I think when you look at Travis Kelce and what we're seeing so far, I'm with you. I don't believe this is the production we're gonna see from all year. How much of this on Patrick Mahomes too, though? A little bit. You know, we're gonna talk more about him throughout the show today and tomorrow. Mahomes admitting that, hey, he's got to get back to kind of the fundamentals. His footwork's a little bit off. His base is off. Things like that. He was underthrowing some guys, leading guys to the sideline too much. He's been off, admittedly, and hasn't been all that sharp for the first three. How much is that also contributing to the lack of production from Travis Kelce? I think quite a bit, because so much of their rapport, or so much of their success together, is because of the rapport that they have, knowing where everybody's going to be. And if Mahomes is a little off himself, well, then it's awfully tough, I'm sure, to have the focus and be on the same page that they normally are on. So I think it's a combination of things. I think you're seeing teams play Kelce the same way. You're seeing Mahomes be off. You're also seeing Rashee Rice develop and get open so frequently right now. Yep. All of that is contributing. Plus, one thing we didn't acknowledge, and luckily the O-line play was better, but Patrick Mahomes is getting the ball out quicker than he ever has in his career. Usually you're like, well, that's a great thing. Well,
Not usually when you're getting into Kelce. They freelance more.
Correct. And I think all that is contributing to why the production just simply hasn't been there for Travis.
I mean, it's not like he's not getting open either. Like, there was a play last night where Collinsworth brought it up. Mahomes had already thrown the ball to the flat, where if he waited a second longer, Travis Kelce shook out Jesse Bates and was wide open on a nice little route that he ran. Then you go back, of course, to the play where he's open in the middle and Mahomes just doesn't see the defender there and he was a tick late. It's not like he's not getting open and he's just running around getting cardio. I mean, he's able to do what he has done. It's just not enough to have Mahomes get the ball his way or even look his way or whatever the case is.
People liked your Cole Kmet example. I guess he had a big day.
I guess he did, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. I was just trying to think of one random 600-yard tight end, and Cole Kmet came to mind.
Fair enough. He had 10 catches for 97 and a touchdown yesterday. People,
That's a tough one.
I hear you, though. You think he's kind of average, middle-of-the-road average tight end.
Like, you know what I'm talking about when I essentially called him that. And also, Cole Kmet, even for the day he just had, has never been, now he's only been in the league a couple of years, somewhere in that category for Patrick Mahomes. He's been in a category all by his lonesome. Sure. Maybe sometimes there's one tight end who comes somewhere near him or flirts with him in that area. This is also a weird year for tight ends, where Isaiah Likely and Dallas Goedert have probably been the top fantasy football tight ends, and that's just not normally the names we're used to seeing. I still think they'll sort it. And, you know, I think yesterday was also matchup-wise kind of tough, because they do have, I don't know, maybe the best safeties in the league. By the way, those guys are just on the street, too. Most frustrating safety build of all time. Anybody could have built their safety room the way that the Atlanta Falcons did. Justin Simmons was still available, what, mid-August?
Yeah, he was a late acquisition. Now, Jesse Bates was a high-priced free agent. I mean, he was making $64 million in his contract. Like, so he wasn't just
Cincinnati misses him.
Yeah,
too,
he wasn't just off the street. He was a big time.
He was a free agent. Though. Anybody could have signed him.
I hear you. You know, I think the Simmons example, I think is way stronger to be like, hey, literally, he was out there for months. Whereas Jesse Bates was one of the first free agents signed a couple years ago for the Falcons. And you can see why I really believe they'll develop in the Falcons. The win against them is going to look better. Not that it's college football. It doesn't really matter, but it will look better for those of you that need that reassurance later on in the season. It's going to be one of those.
I completely agree with that. But that's what, you know, like what it all boils down to with the Chiefs is, so far this year, they've had an injury to their number two wide receiver. They've lost their starting running back. They didn't know what they had at corner. They have already benched their left tackle. They had to go up against the team who was in the AFC title game last year, the team who was in the AFC title game the 2 years before that, an Atlanta Falcons team who was expected to win their division and go to the playoffs because they just had a massive upgrade at quarterback. They have had Travis Kelce being non-factor in their offense, and they are 3-0. Do you hear all the things that went wrong? This is where these teams make excuses of like, well, look, it's all stacked against us. Look at all the things and the injuries and the things that are working against us. The Chiefs don't care about that. I just gave you a list of things that are not going the Chiefs' way so far this year. And what have the results been? The Chiefs are 3-0. They're one of only three teams that are currently undefeated in the AFC. One is Buffalo, who will face tonight. The other one, or who will play tonight. The other one is the Pittsburgh Steelers, who also aren't making excuses. They didn't even want to start Justin Fields. It took Russell Wilson getting hurt. They didn't even want to start the quarterback they're starting, and they're 3-0. Really good franchises, really well-run franchises. Gold, as we talked about to open the show, they find ways to win. We can talk about refereeing if you guys want, but good teams find ways to win when the call goes their way. Not good teams get the call, and it still doesn't matter. Falcons got two calls last night in the final drive. They score on that drive? No, they got stopped on fourth down by Nick Bolton. That's where I just feel different about the, you know, the team versus other
yeah.
People.
I mean, that's what makes them a little bit different too. Yeah. Anyways, because how many other because the Steelers, they still have T.J. Watt. He's still healthy. I mean, they haven't had any bigger issues. They had an offensive lineman get hurt yesterday, but if a team goes through more adversity, you see them slip up more. Where the Chiefs still just find a way to. It looked the way the game looked like last night. I don't know if you guys agree with this. It looked like a game that would have fit in last season. The way that the game went,
maybe
mistakes on offense. They moved the ball well. Couldn't do anything in the red zone. Defense ended up making the play that won the game.
Yeah, look, they've got more experience winning. To your point, winning games like that. You know, we mentioned start the show today. 9-1 score games.
I know, it's crazy.
9 straight wins. Basically, not 8-1 score games during the 9-game win streak, I'm sorry, but by a combined 54 points. That's the lowest for a 9-game winning streak in the NFL. So they're used to winning games just like that last night.
Yeah, it's a little bit different. And I just, they'll win more of those than any other team in the league. And had you told me, this goes like we talk about the Royals, and we'll get back into them a little bit because obviously they're struggling. We talked about this, like, had you told me before the season started that they got 60 yards out of Travis Kelce in 3 weeks, lost Hollywood Brown, lost Isaiah Pacheco, and were 3-0? I thought when they were healthy, 3-0 was going to be a battle. That was a tough start to the schedule. To have to take on Cincinnati, take on Baltimore, take on Atlanta, and now travel on the road to the Chargers. Now, this might be without Justin Herbert, so that game's math has changed a lot. Everybody knew the Chiefs' first 6 or 7 weeks of the season was going to be a bit of a challenge. Like a huge challenge for them. They've already gotten through 3 undefeated. Now, they won all 3 on essentially the final play. Had to stop Bijan on the final play. Now, look, they still got to go and score, and they, you know, so there's no guarantee there. Isaiah Likely's toe is out, and then obviously the Cincinnati one comes down to this, the final interference.
Yeah, but this stuff
call
doesn't happen on accident, though. Like, this is, you know, people want to say the Chiefs are just lucky. Do breaks happen during the 9-game winning streak? Of course, you're going to have some breaks, but it's also a sign of a well-coached team. Doesn't mean we don't have our issues with decisions that Andy may or may not make. Certainly, there were some of those again last night. But you don't win 8-1 score games during a 9-game winning streak. That also includes playoff games. That also includes going on the road for some of those. That also includes a Super Bowl victory, unless you're a well-coached football team, whether it's Andy Reid or Steve Spagnuolo, Matt Nagy, whatever, right? Down to some of the positional coaches. Andy Heck getting Wanya Morris ready to play last night, and he played pretty good. Certainly wasn't mentioned very much, which is it was a good thing. All of that is just what really good organizations do. There's plenty of other teams that played just as good or poorly, however you want to phrase it, as the Chiefs, and they lost.
I think that's what makes people infuriated about it, which is kind of the same reason why me being a Bengals fan, the Steelers, exact same way. They stink on the roster. If you look at paper, they're not supposed to be as good as they have been for the last... Ever since Ben Roethlisberger retired, they're not supposed to be as good as they've done. And it's just when you have well-coached football teams, like you're saying, Gold, they find a way to get the little extra edge where they make one extra play that ends up making the entire difference in the end of it.
It's just always when they fumble, it just ends up being a 3-and-out and they get the ball back.
Yeah.
But when the other team fumbles, they go and score a touchdown on your ass. Great teams just do that. They take advantage of your mistake.